Prager addresses the Black Lives Matter group.
So here's an announcement for all my black listeners. 99% of whites in America want you to do well. End of issue. Just thought you ought to know. The left lies about America so much, and the cops are racist is the latest hysteria. The left is morally bankrupt since its inception.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Are you ready for the vacation of a lifetime? And get on board for the Storyteller Cruise with 660 AM, The Answer. Join us October 23rd through the 30th with Matthew West. Along with pastor and Bible teacher, Greg Laurie.
The highest calling of God is what God has called you to be. There is no higher thing. We're all called to do something.
Selah. Mr. Talkbox, and more. You and your family will travel aboard Holland America's New Amsterdam as we travel to Grand Turks, San Juan, St. Martin, and more. Best of all, enjoy music and inspiration from Matthew West and Pastor Greg Laurie. Space is very limited. Get details now at 660amtheanswer.com. We'll see you on the Storyteller Cruise from 660 AM, The Answer. Mortgage-minded? Think Jim Crockett with Supreme Lending. Whether you're considering moving or refinancing your existing home, your timing is great. Rates are super low, and with Jim, the process is painless. Jim has been helping families for years, and he truly understands the ins and the outs of home purchase loans, including refi and the popular rehab loans. Sit down with Jim and have him answer all your questions. Call 469-857-7225. That's 469-857-7225. Let Jim Crockett walk you through all your options, including cash out refi or bond programs that include the down payment. With his experience and understanding, you'll turn your dreams into a reality. Call Jim Crockett right now, 469-857-7225 or jim.crockett@supremelending.com. Supreme Lending is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 2129. MLO NMLS ID 143219. 14801 Quorum Drive, 300 Dallas, Texas 75254, Texas.
Got a crack? Go Power Jack!
Have you noticed cracking in or around your home? Is it getting to be more than you can handle? Call the professionals at Power Jack Foundation Repair. We can help. Now offering an exclusive patented steel pier system for slab repair. It gives your home the lift it needs in a single hydraulic powered motion. We know you want peace of mind when it comes to your home and your family's safety. That's why Power Jack Foundation Repair is proud to be the only authorized provider of the next level in foundation repair here in the Metroplex. Go PowerJack.com to schedule your free in-home consultation or call 866-638-PJFR. That's 866-638-7537. Locally owned and operated since 2001, Power Jack Foundation Repair at GoPowerJack.com.
Got a crack? Go Power Jack.
We live in Texas, and we know all there is about grilling meat and cooking hearty sides. But sometimes we want something a little lighter or healthier. Sometimes we just want one of the largest salad bars this side of the Brazos. That's why there's Buffalo West. Buffalo West is known for having the best steaks in Fort Worth, guaranteed. But they're also known for having one of the area's biggest and best salad bars. So many leafy options, veggies, croutons, bacon, and more dressings than you can shake a stick at. Buffalo West is your place for authentic Texas cuisine. Bring the family. Heck, even bring the dog. Buffalo West has a beautiful pet-friendly patio where you can relax and enjoy live music. So when you're craving that leafy green goodness or salad toppings that stretch as far as the eye can see, then leave it to the Texans at Buffalo West. Buffalo West at the corner of Camp Bowie and Altamira in Fort Worth. You belong here.
Have you ever considered joining the military but stopped because you couldn't deploy to a foreign country? Believe it or not, the state of Texas has its own military force that stands alongside the Texas National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, and serves only inside the state of Texas. It's called the Texas State Guard. I'm Tech Sergeant John Wells of the 4th Air Wing, and we're looking for you to join us. Give us a call at 877-398-8350. That's 877-398-8350. If you love Texas as much as we do, join the 4th Air Wing of the Texas State Guard.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer.
I am America. One voice, united we stand. I am America. One hope to hear my land. I will not give up on this fight. I will not fade into the night. I am America.
Time for our second hour roundtable on America Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. More talking truth about America.
And welcome back to America Can We Talk. Well, I just loved our guest this last half hour, Kevin Freeman. He is just a brilliant researcher, if you couldn't tell from his remarks. He dives in and explains, first of all, he dives in and understands and can follow really complex things happening in the world and can prove how cybersecurity, economic cybersecurity, in large part caused the September 11, 2008 stock market meltdown, and that it was America's enemies. You know, there were certainly America's weakness was in play that got us that point, but he does research kind of connecting all the dots. Great book, great read. I encourage you to do it. Okay, so this is our second hour roundtable. We only have one person, one of our leading ladies here tonight. Chris Davis is here, but she is enough for two people because she's full of smart thoughts. And so in this second hour roundtable, we have a roundtable question, a rapid-fire answer. But first, I want to play a little clip from Donald Trump. So,
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Okay, so that little tiny clip certainly got some people upset. That was Donald Trump, essentially, after the DNC had acknowledged it had been hacked, and then he's in a news conference, which, as a small aside, Donald Trump gave a news conference during the Democrat National Convention, kind of a taboo, you don't do that, which I think is probably why he did it. But anyway, here we are on the second hour roundtable with Chris Davis. So, Chris, my question is this. So Donald Trump mentions in a press conference that maybe Russia could locate Hillary's missing emails, which probably infuriated her, and later say he's being sarcastic. And even Mark Levin, with whom I usually agree, criticized Trump for this. So we think Trump was wrong to say it. And the bigger question, do you think this is going to matter to the voters? Will the undecided and the independent voters connect the dots between the DNC email hack and Hillary's email server? Is the whole thing going to hurt her or not?
You know, I do think it's going to continue to build against her. In fact, today I read something where an NSA former employee is saying that the NSA has all of her emails. I mean, the most important thing is what is said in all these emails. As the DNC emails came out during the week of their convention, it caused all kinds of disunity among the Democrats there in Philadelphia. You know, Trump, I just think he's so unconventional. He is going to keep them on their ear. And the thing I think, though, Debbie, is the news media now is going to focus on Trump. Whereas they kind of helped Trump along when he was one of 17, they are now going to be looking to tear him apart. And the very fact that they focused on the fact that he mentioned Putin and tried to draw some kind of alliance between the two, rather than what is in these emails and the fact that Hillary has compromised our national security.
You know, I love that answer. I will say, I mentioned Mark Levin a minute ago, and I really want to just say, I usually think he's really smart and on track. I don't know. I mean, Mark Levin was a big, big, big Ted Cruz supporter, so maybe he's just not cutting Trump enough slack. But honestly, I thought Trump was funny. I heard the news conference live. I thought it was very funny. And it was really, again, it is kind of what Trump is. He is not going to shut up. I love your points, too, Chris, about the idea. The media should be thinking, they should be asking the question, wait a minute, if the Russians got into the DNC and their emails, maybe they have Hillary's. What does this mean? Where is their ferocious investigative reporting spirit onto what Hillary has done to us?
Well, it's obvious that they've been in the tank for Hillary, for the Clintons, for the Democrats for years. And so now their job is going to be to try to get her elected. They're not going to want to connect dots. And so it's going to take people like Mark Levin and other conservative broadcasters, people like Debbie Georgiadis, to help connect the dots, help people see that.
Yeah, you know, it really is very interesting. I've also had the thought, though, I love when Trump did that. I wish he would continue. If he's going to do barbs and snark, he's got to direct all his fire at this point at Hillary. There's no point in directing fire at anybody else. His job now, and he really has to do the job the mainstream media won't do, because you're right, Chris. He is going to let this, the media is going to let this go as fast as they can. We're not going to hear about the email scandal. We'll be hearing before long, you know, can't we move on? It's just over. It's over. It's going to have to Donald Trump to say, wait a minute. She's never, again, answered the question.
You know, one of the times I like Trump the best, and there's not a lot of them, but it's when he's going after Hillary and the Democrats, and when he's pointing out the truth about them. And, you know, he can garner enough publicity with his cell phone alone, with his tweets. And I wrote down a couple of them that he has tweeted today. One of them was talking about the crowds that Hillary is not garnering in her Pennsylvania trip. And in fact, she was 90 minutes late. Some people had to be treated for heat exhaustion. But Trump tweeted, can you imagine if I had the small crowds that Hillary is drawing today in Pennsylvania? It would be a major media event. And I love it when he points out the truth about
point.
The news media.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of Hillary, we're up against a break here in a moment. But I want to tell you something about Hillary. A new thing you will hear, and you'll hear from Hillary over and over and over, is the Hillary standard. She's raised this point now that somehow she's being picked on by Donald Trump and the media, that she's held to an unduly high standard. So I want to tell you, I have a podcast series now called Let's Talk More. It's on podcast, and you can listen to it every week, Mondays at 2 p.m. at rncn.com. I'll tell you again after the break, but I'm going to break down tomorrow this Hillary standard, and I'll tell you the real Hillary standard is she gets a break from the media. So come back after break. We're going to talk about some of the one speaker of the DNC convention, a Muslim parents of a son killed in defending America, and the political fallout from that. Don't go away.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Could you lose your career because of your faith? Could your pastor be sued because of his sermons? Can students and teachers be punished because of what they believe about God? Can the government or even your employer force you to violate your beliefs? Get the answers and, if necessary, legal protection from First Liberty Institute. First Liberty is the nation's largest legal organization dedicated exclusively to restoring religious freedom in America. In fact, First Liberty's nationwide network of top attorneys win over 90% of their cases. They've won at the Supreme Court all the way down to local schools. Visit firstliberty.org to learn more about how First Liberty is protecting religious freedom for all Americans in the workplace, public schools, your church, the military, and more. That's firstliberty.org. If you want hope for religious freedom and a free listing of your rights, go to firstliberty.org now. America faces unprecedented threats to our national security. The Center for Security Policy, based in Washington, D.C., is a national leader focused on the organization, management, and direction of public policy coalitions to promote U.S. national security. The Center is a special forces in the war of ideas, dedicated to identifying opportunities and challenges likely to affect American security and acting promptly to ensure that they are the subject of focused national examination and effective action. The Center enlists support from executive branch officials, key legislators, and other public policy organizations, and brings these teams together to develop and shape policies that will keep America safe. Check out centerforsecuritypolicy.org for the latest news and developments brought to you by America's leading security experts. Becoming and remaining informed is one of the best ways every citizen can be a part of the mission to keep America safe. That's centerforsecuritypolicy.org.
If there's one thing the conservative movement needs, it's a leader. And we have one, the Heritage Foundation. Heritage gets in the trenches on Capitol Hill. They promote principled solutions directly to lawmakers in Washington. And unlike politicians, they don't waver or compromise. But they're not a Washington institution. There are tens of thousands of Heritage members and supporters in North Texas alone. And they're on a mission to grow that number and build the conservative base. You can become a Heritage member by going to joinheritage.org today. I've been a member of Heritage myself for years. I have Heritage experts. experts on my show, and I rely on their analysis to get the facts out. As a member, you'll get updates on the fight for America from Heritage President Jim DeMint, plus exclusive invitations to conservative events right here in Dallas or wherever you are in America. So join the growing movement. Find out more at joinheritage.org. That's joinheritage.org.
Nothing interrupts a productive day like feeling worn out. And nothing interrupts a good night's sleep like snoring. It's not just your other half who feels the pain.
Honey, roll over!
Snoring and sleep apnea leave you tired during the day and increase your risk for health problems. Isn't it time to shut down snoring for good? Simple Sleep Services has the solution that really works without painful surgery, creepy CPAP machines, or bulky masks. Just a comfortable custom mouthpiece. And Simple Sleep's provided more in 5 years than anyone in the U.S. It's covered by medical insurance, and there's no pain or downtime. With Simple Sleep, you'll have more energy every day and more restful relaxation at night.
Honey, roll over.
Visit our full-service centers in Dallas and Fort Worth, online at simplesleepservices.com, or call us at 469-685-1700. Simple Sleep, 469-685-1700.
simplesleepservices.com.
Saying "I don't know" is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
And welcome back to America Can We Talk. We are having a blast in the studio tonight. The problem is 2 hours is too short an amount of time to try to talk about all the serious issues facing America, but we're trying to pack a lot in. This is Debbie Georgiadis, your host of America Can We Talk, where we always talk truth about America. And in this segment, I want to hit, you know, we've been talking about Hillary Clinton tonight, and we're talking about her obfuscation about emails and changing her story and whether she compromised America's security. And she apparently, even after the FBI investigated her, even after James Comey told the nation that she had, he didn't say the words Hillary Clinton lied. He simply pointed out what was true. And fact after fact after fact, she had lied. She had said something different. There are back and forth you can find on Facebook. And Neil, my good buddy at the boards, is trying. Yep. OK, he's got a great thing. Let me play it for you. Play this clip.
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true.
Secretary Clinton said, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
Now, there was classified material emailed.
He directly contradicted what...
Well, I...
And let me just yeah. He not only directly contradicted what you said, he also said in that hearing that you were extremely careless and negligent.
Well, Chris, I looked at the whole transcript of everything that was said, and what I believe is, number one, I made a mistake not using two different email addresses. I have said that, and I repeat it again today. It is certainly not anything that I ever would do again. I take classification seriously. I relied on and had every reason to rely on the judgments of the professionals with whom I worked.
Freaking believable. I cannot believe this woman. The audacity is simply breathtaking. She hears the clips. She heard the clips you just heard. And she just, I mean, this description of Hillary Clinton as very, very well laid out in Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, Hillary's America, is just, you were saying before the break, Chris, it's just...
Debbie, it's just like Dinesh D'Souza's movie. My husband and I saw it Friday afternoon, and, you know, she's like the crime boss. And in the crime syndicate, you deny, deny, deny. And she continues to do it, and people have got to go see that movie. It will help you understand a lot better what's going on today.
And her mentality is, I never have to tell the truth. I just tell a lie, and once I've settled on my lie, and that's going to be my lie, I tell the lie, and I tell it, and she looks you right in the face. It's like everyone just saw you kill the guy, and she says, no, I didn't kill the guy. Nope, didn't do that. I'll tell you something else evident from that little exchange she had with Chris Wallace. She does this trick all the time where she doesn't answer the question. The question was, were you supposed to have your email server at home unprotected by the government system? And she says, I've made a mistake. I didn't have two email addresses.
That's she throws in a little apology to make herself seem human and seem a little bit fallible, but she's never going to admit it. She's still lying like she was when she was a young lawyer working on the Nixon Watergate committee, where she got released for being a liar.
Fired for being a dishonest lawyer. So this is Hillary Clinton. This is a woman who would be queen, folks. This is a woman who wants to run your country, who's already told you in her speeches at the DNC convention and throughout her candidacy, her main agenda in this election cycle is to tell you, don't worry, I can solve everything. Give me all the power. Send me all your money. I'm going to fix everything. This is essentially her platform. Besides that, she's a woman, if you hadn't noticed. I'll tell you something else. Back to that Trey Gowdy exchange and Chris Wallace. There's got to be a name. It's like a psychological syndrome, because they said the wrongdoing was, did you have two servers, or no, why did you have your server at home? And she said, I'm sorry, I had two email addresses. And then she also doesn't ever answer the question, but you did have classified things. You said you didn't, but Comey said you did. And yet she tries to say, I wasn't lying. I didn't do that. And the last one was trying to blame it on somebody else. I trusted the professionals, whatever her words were. Who cares? All I want to know is, folks, if you can vote for this woman, I cannot comprehend what you must think the presidency requires if you can trust her. I'm going to turn to the appearance of the DNC. Something else quick on that, or anything else on that? Go ahead.
No, I think you have covered that. This woman, just if the truth was standing in front of her, she wouldn't be able to declare it.
There you go. Okay, so on this segment, I want to hit this thing, because we have coming up at the 7:30 hour a fabulous guest, Heather McDonald, and she is the author of a book, The War on Cops, and she's making the left crazy because she is what they hate the most of all is facts. They hate data. They hate facts. But before we get to her, we still have 5 minutes in this segment. I want to hit one thing from the Democrat National Convention. And that was a clip from the parents. They had a Muslim couple who are the parents of a American soldier who died serving the country. I'm not sure if it was Iraq or Afghanistan, but he died serving America. And his parents spoke at the convention. And that is clip two, if we can play that.
Our son, Himayun, had dreams too of being a military lawyer, but he put those dreams aside. The day he sacrificed his life to save the lives of his fellow soldiers. If it was up to Donald Trump, he never would have been in America. Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims.
Okay, yeah, thank you for cutting that off. I can't even stand it anymore. You know, I want to say, everyone with a heart, with a soul, it grieves everyone, the idea of ever losing a child, of ever losing any life. Human life is precious. Every life lost serving America. And for those parents, I am deeply sorry. I cannot imagine the grief you go through. Having said that, for that guy to go and speak at the Democrat National Convention and try to mischaracterize, to misstate what it is that Donald Trump has said. Now, it wouldn't kill Donald Trump to be a little more articulate. It would not kill him if he would be a little more precise. I mean, he drives me nuts sometimes. He needs someone to coach him. But Donald Trump talks in the East Coasty, tough guy, you know, side of his mouth. He's just that kind of guy. He has one manner of speech, but the Democrats are putting words in his mouth he didn't say, and they are treating the issue as though there is no problem. What this guy is standing up and saying is there's no problem with Islamic terrorism or Islam coming to America. He's blurring and smearing the issues, confusing the issue that Donald Trump is raising of whether or not we should have more Islamic immigration to America when we are in the height of an Islamic war against Western civilization, against America. And Donald Trump saying, really, maybe we should kind of be careful here who we bring to this country. And this dad gets up and says, and tries to take, he actually kind of took advantage of his story of losing his son to make a political attack. And I'll tell you one more thing, and then Chris is dying to talk, I know. One more thing. So that same dad, his name is Kazir Khan, he was interviewed in CNN and actually said the words, terror has nothing to do with Islam.
You know, Debbie, I agree with you. His son did sacrifice his life for our country, and we respect him for that. His son took an oath to the Constitution, and he died fighting for that. But he was fighting against Muslims. And, you know, the very fact that this father, this poor father and mother, were used as political pawns, that they agreed to that, to speak at this convention, just before they spoke, a Medal of Honor winner had been booed by this convention. And the fact that they did not have the discernment to know what the Democratic Party stands for now with regard to our military and with regard to our law enforcement. And, you know, the fact that he could stand up there for a woman who abandoned former soldiers in Benghazi, and that he could stand up there for a president who disrespects our Constitution and doesn't honor the separation of powers that our government was set up on. I feel so sorry for the father and mother that they are deluded in this way.
They are deluded, and they were used by the Democrats. I mean, this is the way the Democrats sell their agenda and sell their messages. It's through stories. It's very powerful. Carrie Kellerman, who's one of our leading ladies, often will point that out. Carrie will say stories are more, they leave impressions. You remember them longer. But the truth is, sad as it was, these people lost their son. That does not mean that there's anything wrong with Donald Trump's idea of let's be a little bit smarter about who we bring to America. Let's not bring any more San Bernardino killers to America in our refugee program, in our immigration policies. I mean, it's the most common sense thing in the world. It's being twisted by the left. We have like 30 seconds.
Well, I just want to say that I read an article by Colonel Alan West on this today, and he pointed out that this father missed a wonderful opportunity to point out some things that are really speak the truth about what we're facing today and the threat that we're facing. And rather than being used as a political pawn, it could have done so much for Muslims who are moderate, who are Americans, who want to serve America and love our freedoms.
Thank you, Chris Davis. This is Debbie Georgias, my leading lady, Chris Davis. America, Can We Talk? When you come back, Heather McDonald, whose book, The War on Cops, is fabulous. You don't want to miss this interview.
The soul of freedom.
660 AM, The Answer.
If you want to get at the issues that really matter for women and men, go to IWF.org. That's the Independent Women's Forum. IWF is all about increasing the number of American women who value free markets and personal liberty. IWF's motto is all issues are women's issues. They bring a fact-based approach to politics, policy, and culture. When the left tried to peddle a phony war on women, IWF shot back with facts and figures. American women aren't victims in need of ever-increasing government protection. And IWF doesn't think things are perfect, but they believe that individual liberty is the key to prosperity and fulfillment. Along with their sister organization, Independent Women's Voice, IWVoice.org, which is a leader in the fight against Obamacare, they offer policy papers, op-eds, and a popular blog on issues of the day. So visit IWF at IWF.org. That's IWF.org. Texans have a long tradition of independence, and we don't like being told what to do, especially by liberal bureaucrats 1,000 miles away. That's why for 30 years, the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation has fought Washington's efforts to take more of your money and freedom. IPI works every day to keep taxes low and freedom high, to promote free market health care, expand energy security, protect intellectual property, and combat onerous regulations that destroy American jobs. Politicians often talk smaller government, but then vote for more of it. By contrast, IPI has never veered from its mission to defend the Constitution and fight for freedom. If you want to be informed about free market policies and solutions, go to IPI's website and sign up. All of their information is free for sharing. Help IPI restore liberty and economic growth. Go to IPI.org today. That's IPI.org. One more time, go to IPI.org today.
Could you lose your career because of your faith? Could your pastor be sued because of his sermons? Can students and teachers be punished because of what they believe about God? Can the government or even your employer force you to violate your beliefs. Get the answers and, if necessary, legal protection from First Liberty Institute. First Liberty is the nation's largest legal organization dedicated exclusively to restoring religious freedom in America. In fact, First Liberty's nationwide network of top attorneys win over 90% of their cases. They've won at the Supreme Court all the way down to local schools. Visit firstliberty.org to learn more about how First Liberty is protecting religious freedom for all Americans in the workplace, public schools, your church, the military, and more. That's firstliberty.org. If you want hope for religious freedom and a free listing of your rights, go to firstliberty.org now. Texans have a long tradition of independence, and we don't like being told what to do, especially by liberal bureaucrats 1,000 miles away. That's why for 30 years, the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation has fought Washington's efforts to take more of your money and freedom. IPI works every day to keep taxes low and freedom high, to promote free market health care, expand energy security, protect intellectual property, and combat onerous regulations that destroy American jobs. Politicians often talk smaller government, but then vote for more of it. By contrast, IPI has never veered from its mission to defend the Constitution and fight for freedom. If you want to be informed about free market policies and solutions, go to IPI's website and sign up. All of their information is free for sharing. Help IPI restore liberty and economic growth. Go to IPI.org today. That's IPI.org. One more time, go to IPI.org today.
Dallas Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
And welcome back to America, Can We Talk? And yes, we can. This is Debbie Georgiadis, your host, and my leading lady joining me tonight is Chris Davis. And, you know, we've been talking about all sorts of challenges facing America and what was talked about at the Democrat and National Conventions. And what was notably not spoken about, hardly at all, at the Democrat National Convention, except for the Mothers Movement part, was the ongoing racial tension in America and the astounding number of shootings of police officers. And so we just have a fabulous guest joining us at this hour. We have Heather McDonald. I believe we have her online. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Debbie.
So glad you've joined us. I'm going to quickly tell our listeners, Heather McDonald is just making the rounds nationally, talking about her new book, The War on Cops. But I just, as a quick background, this issue is so fraught with the tension between the Black Lives Matter movement and police, so fraught with tension and suspicion, that I want to give a moment credit to Heather for writing a book that has such substance and depth to it. She's been a writer, a contributing editor, a City Journal. She actually digs in and researches and writes really insightful, detailed, fact-based things on a range of topics. But her new book, as I say, is called The War on Cops. And it basically, Heather, the reason it's obviously getting so much attention is we've had a spate of shootings of police officers in this country, and it seems to be coming out of the Black Lives Matter movement effort to depict policemen as just being unfair and mistreating Black Americans. So, first of all, did you start writing War on Cops before the Black Lives Matter movement started?
Well, first of all, Debbie, thank you so much for having me on and such a accurate description of what I'm trying to say. And you're absolutely right. This spate of assassinations that is leading to about a 75% increase in felonious killings of cops this year is most definitely the outgrowth of the Black Lives Matter movement. It's just a more extreme version of the hatred that officers working in inner city areas are confronting now on a nearly daily basis whenever they get out of their squad cars to do an investigation or make an arrest. I started the research on this before looking at, for instance, the lies about the Stop, Question, and Frisk program in New York City, a trilogy of lawsuits against the NYPD falsely accusing them of racism. But certainly my spotting of the Ferguson effect and as the which I've called what is going on now with this officers backing off of proactive policing and crime going up above all in Black cities really was a sort of an anchor of this book and following the horrible Obama, President Obama's contribution to the hatred of cops.
I could not agree more, and I'm glad you said that. You know, it's a very, very sensitive issue because everyone in America, I mean, really everyone, what we all want, I mean, I think we all want basically police officers to be safe, be respected. We want citizens to receive justice from our police and courts. So I think everyone sits back and they're just feeling very much unsettled, unsure, and the Black Lives Matter movement has managed to convince, unfortunately, the least educated among us, least informed, that the police are in some sort of witch hunt or unjustifiably using force against Black Americans in disproportionate numbers. So that's part of what your research got at in this book is, and actually also you gave a brilliant talk at Hillsdale College, which I have in front of me. I've highlighted and stickied and starred and all that. But basically, is there legitimacy to the argument of the Black Lives Matter movement that Black Americans are unfairly targeted by police?
No, there's no legitimacy to that argument, Debbie. The police go where crime is. And as long as crime remains as racially disproportionate as it is, you're going to have officers more frequently deployed to minority neighborhoods, confronting armed and resisting suspects, and sometimes those encounters are going to result in officers' use of force. But it turns out that a higher percentage of white and Hispanic homicide victims are killed by police officers than Black homicide victims. Fully 12% of all whites and Hispanics who die of homicide are killed by cops, compared to 4% of Black homicide victims who are killed by cops. And a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a Black male than an unarmed Black male is to be killed by a cop. And that's because in the last decade, Black males have made up 40% of all cop killers, even though they're only 6% of the population.
You know, these numbers, I love that you just read those. I've read your paper at your speech at Imprimis so many times. It's on Imprimis, your speech at Hillsdale, and quoted some of those stats myself. And they just, it's hard for listeners to absorb a lot of numbers. So that was a great job, Heather, in just capturing a few of them. So, but this Black Lives Matter mantra has kind of taken hold. And I just feel I want to have you explain why you say that the Black Lives Matter message has actually caused harm to the Black communities. Why do you say that?
Because homicides are rising overwhelmingly in Black cities. Last year in 10 cities with large Black populations, homicides rose anywhere from 54% in Washington, D.C. to 90% in Cleveland. And the overwhelming majority of victims in this current homicide surge are Blacks. And they're being killed not by police officers, not by other whites, but other Blacks. But the harm to the Black community also results when officers back off of proactive policing, having been told by the president, the attorney general, the media, the university community that they're racist for policing in inner city neighborhoods. They also end up ignoring the heartfelt requests of law-abiding residents of high crime neighborhoods who are desperate for the cops to try and restore order to the streets. You cannot go to a police community meeting in high-crime areas like Harlem or the South Bronx or South Central Los Angeles without hearing these upstanding bourgeois members of those communities begging cops to get the drug dealers off the corners, the kids who are colonizing their lobbies, smoking weed and selling weed, out so they can feel safe to walk the streets again.
You know, I've talked about this issue, and I'm curious if you agree with this characterization. I think this issue has been exploited, I'm sorry to say, by many of the kind of race baiters in our society. But it seems like the whole issue that we are watching happen in the inner cities, it has obviously a racial component, but it's kind of, it's the law abiders versus the law breakers. That's really how it breaks down more, because it's not necessarily race, it's law abiders and law breakers. And then it's those who want to work for solutions to what challenges there may be, even including sometimes some unjustified police shootings, those who want solutions and those who want to exploit it for political gain. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the elite establishment is committed to a narrative of black victimology, that establishment is also largely clueless about what inner-city violence looks like and the mindlessness of these drive-by shootings, the real breakdown of social controls, like above all families and fathers, and the levels of disorder on streets. I mean, I keep hearing from people, whether it's in Chicago or New York, about kids hanging out on street corners in the hundreds fighting, you know, blocking traffic, beating up on younger kids, and the elites just turn their eyes away from that. And yes, there are some people in those communities who are saying parents have to take responsibility for their kids, but they are not the ones that get the attention of the media, because the media too is utterly wedded to the America as a racist oppressor narrative.
You know, we have about 1 minute in this segment, and I'm so glad you can hang on through the break. My Chris Davis is here. She's another my co-host in the second hour roundtable. She has a quick question, and we'll see how much we can get out of the answer in the 1 minute we have left. But go ahead.
Hi, Heather. I just wanted to ask you, you know, we hear our president, we hear the Democratic Party talk about statistics that sound just the opposite of yours, that blacks are much more likely to be killed by cops than whites and Hispanics. Can you speak to where are they getting their figures?
Well, what the president talks about, what he did most recently in his speech before the Dallas assassination and then after, is that blacks are more likely to be arrested by whites. Well, that's true. Blacks commit homicide at 8 times the rate of whites and Hispanics combined.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you expect? It is true. Blacks make up 26% of all fatal police shootings. Now, that's larger than their whites make up 50%. You would never know that given the media attention. You know, if the media ran with if people even bothered to take cell phone videos of police use of force, you'd think there was a white epidemic.
You know what? Heather McDonald, just a fabulous interview. She'll be back. Come back right after the break to keep on talking with Heather McDonald, author of War on Cops.
660 AM, The Answer.
The National Center for Policy Analysis brings together the best and brightest minds to tackle the country's most difficult public policy problems in healthcare, taxes, retirement, education, energy, and now national security. The NCPA works to develop and promote private, free market alternatives to government regulation and control, solving problems by relying on the strength of competition and the private sector. As America's think tank, the NCPA wants to make sure you have access to simple, clear solutions to the issues that matter to you. Come get to know the NCPA at one of their events and join the conversation by following them on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. To get policy solutions delivered straight to your inbox, sign up for the NCPA free email newsletter or subscribe to one of their policy blogs. To get involved with America's Think Tank, go online today to ncpa.org. The NCPA would love your support, and you'll love being part of the solutions to America's challenges. So go to ncpa.org. That's ncpa.org.
Our nation faces a choice. The path of big government based out of Washington, or the unique brand of liberty and prosperity enjoyed here in Texas. For 27 years, the Texas Public Policy Foundation has helped leaders in the Lone Star State prove that fiscal restraint and small government can deliver opportunity and prosperity for all. The Texas Public Policy Foundation promotes and defends solutions here and around the country based on liberty, free enterprise, and personal responsibility. Whether informing the national debate on property rights, energy, taxes, education, or criminal justice, the foundation works to translate ideas into real change. The Texas Public Policy Foundation does not accept government funds or contributions to influence the outcome of its research. It is supported by thousands of people like you who are concerned about the future of our country. You can help Texas remain strong as the beacon of liberty in America. Visit texaspolicy.com to learn more.
Dennis Prager addresses the Black Lives Matter group.
So here's an announcement for all my black listeners. 99% of whites in America want you to do well. End of issue. Just thought you ought to know. the left lies about America so much, and the cops are racist is the latest hysteria. The left is morally bankrupt since its inception.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey, are you tired of stuffed shirt critics taking all the fun out of your entertainment information? You want something a little more fun and untucked? I am entertainment critic Matt Mungle, and I want to personally invite you to join me and Brian Kluger for The Entertainment Answer, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. right here on 660 AM, The Answer. You have questions on what to spend your hard-earned money on at the box office? We have the answer. Where are the new and exciting live theater and concerts happening? We have those answers too. All in an energetic style that is fan to fan. That's The Entertainment Answer, Sunday nights at 9, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
If you want to get at the issues that really matter for women and men, go to IWF.org. That's the Independent Women's Forum. IWF is all about increasing the number of American women who value free markets and personal liberty. IWF's motto is all issues are women's issues. They bring a fact-based approach to politics, policy, and culture. When the left tried to peddle a phony war on women, IWF shot back with facts and figures. American women aren't victims in need of ever-increasing government protection, and IWF doesn't think things are perfect, but they believe that individual liberty is the key to prosperity and fulfillment. Along with their sister organization, Independent Women's Voice, IWVoice.org, which is a leader in the fight against Obamacare, they offer policy papers, op-eds, and a popular blog on issues of the day. So visit IWF at IWF.org. That's IWF.org.
This is 660 AM, The Answer.
And hello again. This is Debbie Georgiatos, America Can We Talk. We have a fabulous guest on the line with us tonight, Heather McDonald, the author of The War on Cops. And Heather, we have a bunch of questions and only one segment. But before we do that, I want to give you a chance to tell our listeners where to get your book. And do you have a website that has some of this information on it?
Well, they can get it at their local bookstores, I believe, Debbie, or Amazon. It was sold out for a while, and there was a long wait. But I think the publisher finally got himself together and got the books back out there. So do check. It should be out there, and I think information is probably on Amazon. They can look me up at the Manhattan Institute website, but better to go to Amazon and get the book, in my view.
I had meant to mention Heather McDonald is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, an extremely highly regarded organization. Just a feather in her cap that she's there, and she's just been recipient of many awards. She's a serious researcher. And honestly, the research is what leads to solutions instead of just fomenting anger. But Chris had one more. Go ahead.
Heather, I attended the funeral for Officer Mike Smith here in Dallas, and it was a very moving service. And there was a police officer who spoke at the funeral, and he talked about and admonished the media to not just show the bad things that happen with police, but to show the good things that police do. And I wanted you, I know there was a bit mentioned about the media, but to just speak to what the media is doing and in this situation with the police and Black Lives Matter.
Well, the media is absolutely hypocritical. It's quite extraordinary. They are indifferent to the slaughter of black children that goes on a weekly basis practically in this country, because they're not killed by police officers. They're killed by gangbangers. I mean, nobody knows the names in this country of the three children under the age of five killed in Cleveland in September alone of last year, or the three-year-old boy in Chicago shot on Father's Day of this year who's now paralyzed for life. And yet, thanks to the media, the world knows the name of Michael Brown, the thug who was shot in Ferguson in August of 2014, who that set off the Black Lives Matter movement. So the media is only interested in one side of the story. And as Debbie said, there have been some very bad cop shootings. The Laquan McDonald shooting in Chicago was really horrible tactics, and the department and mayoralty were at fault in not putting the correct story out sooner. The Walter Scott shooting was bad, but officers confront tens of thousands of armed and resisting suspects every year without making those types of mistakes. And study after study have shown that these days officers are, in fact, much less likely to shoot an unarmed black suspect than an unarmed white suspect, and they take longer in deciding to shoot a armed black suspect than an armed white suspect. There's been about three studies at least this year that have come out that have confirmed that, and yet the media narrative is absolutely impervious to the truth.
Yeah, that is just not, it's beyond just dishonest. That is such a disservice to America. And even the Michael Brown shooting you mentioned, we've been through that this episode or that particular incident many times on this show, but the fact that the media, every time there's a chant, hands up, don't shoot, that they don't say, actually, that never happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. The New York Times continues to list Michael Brown first in the list of martyrs to police brutality.
It's shocking. Okay, so, Heather, we're talking about this just tremendously. It's a huge issue in America. It's going to be an issue this election cycle. So are you aware of whether or not the police departments are making a shift in the way law enforcement officers are trained? I mean, they're trying to do things like train them to how to deal with racial tension or and to deal with avoiding being ambushed. I would think this whole Black Lives Matter thing has caused a shift in training. Do you know if that's true?
Well, unfortunately, what's being advocated by the Obama Justice Department and by Hillary Clinton is the biggest waste of money in the world, which is implicit bias training. I attended one of those for Train the Trainers in Chesterfield, Missouri, outside of St. Louis. It's complete nonsense. And what they should be doing is more tactical training. Officers are desperate for more training in how to make those excruciating split-second shoot-don't-shoot decisions. But instead, thanks to the Obama Justice Department, that precious training dollars are being spent on something that is completely wrong because, again, as studies show, officers are less likely to shoot unarmed blacks than unarmed whites. There's bias does not come into this question at all. You know, there's some push to have more de-escalation training. That's fine as long as it doesn't put officers' lives at risk. And I'll say the other thing that we officers need constant training in is just simple courtesy and respect. Too often officers developed a hardened, coarse and an impolite attitude, and that doesn't help matters on the street at all.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you could even know about this. I'm just curious because this is another point some Black Lives Matter people allude to. In fact, one of the women I think who spoke at the DNC convention, there's not even know if it's true. I'm curious if you know, are there statistics about deaths of black men being out of line with respect while they're in police custody? Statistically higher than it should be. Do you know anything along those lines?
All of those claims do not take into account suspect behavior. You have to look at what suspects do. Are they resisting arrest? The Justice Department decades ago found that the biggest predictor of officer behavior is civilian behavior. And if somebody is resisting, an officer is going to escalate his own level of force. And given the current climate, today, it is going to make blacks' level of resisting arrest, which was already high, even higher because police legitimacy has been just completely undercut and people are being filled with hatred towards cops.
I'm so glad you said all of that. I just think I listen to these things and I think it makes everyone around the country just, as I say, they want to feel like civilians are treated fairly. They want to feel like police are not targets, that they're safe, that they're respected. So, given where we are, what is the solution? How do we move forward as a society to get past this seeming impasse and kind of alternative views of reality being held by the police versus Black Lives Matter folks?
Well, I think that the source of the lies is the blanket prohibition that's been put on any discussion of black crime for the last 20, 30 years. As long as the public remains as ignorant as it is about those disparities, as I say, an 8 times greater level of homicides by blacks compared to whites and Hispanics combined. And if you remove Hispanics from that equation, you get about an 11 to 12 times homicide disparity. And That's true for other types of violent crime as well. As long as the public doesn't know that, they're going to look at police activity and see arrest and stop disparities and come to the conclusion that the police are racist. So I think the solution is an honest discussion about inner city crime.
I love that idea. And actually, that leads to the point, which isn't probably within what you normally speak about, but we've talked about in the show, is that you're going to have problems in communities where there is a, whatever the percentage is now, 72% of children are born in a household with a single parent. There are no dads around, no role models, no intact family units. And so that really is creating the culture where there are young people who are looking for whatever they're looking for outside their home, toughness or identity or gang. It's a complex problem. But Heather, I love that you said the basic point is you have to get the truth out and be able to talk about even things that are honestly politically incorrect, to say what's true, to even start to get to solutions. I love that.
Well, Debbie, I have two chapters in the book talking about the problem of fatherlessness in the Black community and the social breakdown. That is absolutely the root cause of high levels of crime in inner city communities. And policing is just the second best solution to bringing order and safety to people's lives there. The best solution would be the two-parent family. And that's another thing that's very taboo to talk about now, because nobody, feminists dominate the conversation, and nobody wants to acknowledge that men and women are different. And on average, mothers and fathers bring different skills to child rearing, and boys need fathers. You know, there's lots of heroic single mothers out there that are doing the right thing by their kids, but the odds are very much against them, and social science is pretty much unequivocal about that. So until the family is re-knit together, you're going to have just these insane levels of drive-by shootings in inner-city communities.
We are speaking tonight with Heather McDonald, the author of the book, The War on Cops. I urge you to get it. Bookstores, if they have it back in stock, get it on your iPad, get it electronically. Also, I urge you to Google an article. She gave a speech at Hillsdale College, an article in the Imprimis magazine, which you can get physically delivered to your home. You can find it online. It's called The Danger of the Black Lives Matter Movement. It's a brilliant, statistic-filled article. I urge everyone to get it. Heather McDonald, thank you so very much for calling in.
Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate it.
Love having her. I'm telling you, folks, this show, we always talk about, we talk truth about America, and we talk about the hard issues, including getting to solutions like problems with the Black Lives Matter movement, that is painting a false picture, even though, which is not to say there aren't egregious police errors, and when that happens, we need to investigate those. We need to prosecute if that's the right decision based on what the officer's conduct was. But we can't even get around to solutions if we can't talk truth from the start with the facts. Okay, so this is Debbie Georgiadis and America Can We Talk. We're wrapping up here, but I do want to urge you to tell you we have this very cool thing starting. My podcast series on Mondays at 2 o'clock is called Let's Talk More. You can get to it at realnewscn.com. And very soon on my up-and-coming website, americacanwetalk.org. And I want to thank our sponsor for the show, GC Works. They fund this show. They're a Dallas-based company. They perform research in advanced technology and deliver innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. I thank GC Works. I thank you for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Debbie Kimmy Talk and come back next week.
Thank you for listening to America Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact Debbie, go to americacanwetalk.org. America Can We Talk. Truth about America.